The following program is an MLWRadio.com production.
Matt Media Productions.
You remembered them fondly, and then they were gone. And now you want to know.
No!
Yes!
No!
No!
Yes!
Who,
what? Where? When? Why?
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 Why
It Ended with Robbie E. and Matt Kuhn.
Another Wednesday. God, these days go by so quick. It's back. It's hashtag Why It Ended Wednesday. Welcome, guys, to another week. We're fresh off last week's Coco Beware episode, which was something else, wasn't it, Matt?
I tell you what, you're right, Robbie, because these Wednesdays go by so quick. And I'll tell you what, if you're a Patreon member, patreon.com/wideended, it goes by a little quicker because those of you who are on there have already got today's interview in the bank. But last week we had Coco Beware and he did not disappoint.
Yeah, I mean, he totally did. I mean, between talking about, you know, the guy that he took it to in the ring, which if you went back and watched that video of when he beat up that Masked Patriot guy, it was pretty brutal. To, you know, how sad he is about losing his bird, Frankie. It definitely made for an entertaining episode, to say the least.
You know, I'll tell you what, Robbie, I was fine with the episode, and then you had to go and make Coco cry.
Hey, I believe that was you who egged him on about that bird.
Man, I tell you, he said, let me out, let me out.
All right, it's 50-50, we'll both take the credit.
Hey, so today we have Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
Well, I tell you what, our Patreon members that have already heard the Brutus interview have been saying how much they loved it. So I'm pretty sure our audience is going to think it's as crazy as me and you did, and he's confused as we were while it went on.
Yeah, it's a fantastic interview, guys. Of course, we are Why It Ended, and you can check us out at whyitended.com, MLWRadio.com. And anytime you get on iTunes and you check us out, make sure to leave a 5-star review. If you want to get a t-shirt, we have a lot of great designs over at prowrestlingtees.com/whyitended. Or if you're the kind of person who wants to listen to us on YouTube, go to whereitended.com.
And don't forget, September 2nd will be the first ever, not only meeting of Robbie E. and Matt Kuhn, but our first ever Why It Ended live show.
And that's going to be at StarCast. Now, I don't think it's any secret that, you know, StarCast is something I've been pretty involved with, and also, Robbie has been very excited to do. We're going to have our first live show with the first time we ever meet. We might even give Robbie a little test. And also, we're going to have some special guests, some guests old and new.
It is definitely going to be an afternoon that you don't want to miss.
That's Sunday. Is it September 2nd?
September 2nd, StarCast. And you know what else besides that you don't want to miss? The rest of today's episode.
So, coming up, Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
On Why It Ended.
Stop using your hand. .com.
Now, of course, you know by now about our great sponsor, Pleasure Products USA. They are a huge supporter of Why It Ended and also your online destination for innovative quality and affordable items geared towards men's sexual pleasure. As you know, or you probably should know, their signature product is the 3V Starlet Stroker. That's right, the 3V Starlet Stroker. It has an amazing, realistic internal texture, multiple vibration settings, and for the finishing maneuver, an actual voice of an adult film star is recorded to the device to make more than the crowd pop. Now, if you're not sure about this, and this is all new to you, check this out. You can try a free, that's right, a free stroker. All you have to do is just pay the shipping and handling of $6.95. For just $6.95 shipping and handling, you can get a free stroker. All you got to do is go to pleasureproductsusa.com/promo. That's /promo. And enter the coupon code FISTBUMP. So whether you're going to get the 3V Scarlet Stroker or you just want to dip your toe in the water, so to speak, with this free stroker for only $6.95 shipping and handling, make sure to check out our good friends at StopUsingYourHand.com. Now remember, to get that free stroker, go to PleasureProductsUSA.com/promo. And the coupon code is fist bump. That's pretty funny. But you know what's not funny? Pleasure Products USA, StopUsingYourHand.com. Today. All right, Robbie and everybody listening, we have joining us today Brutus the Barber Beefcake. You know him by maybe a couple other names, but for me, he is the legend, Brutus Beefcake. Brutus, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, man. I hope everybody remembers me as Brutus Beefcake.
Oh, don't worry.
There's a few other side deals. And, you know, not taking anything away from them, they were incredible. But I like to stick with the one that's the best of all.
Well, don't worry. I'm pretty sure everyone remembers you for that, man. At least that's what I remember you for.
It's all good, man. You know what? We should be so comfortable. We should be so lucky that you could actually have a second persona. It could be so fucking popular. Get out for you to do the first one. How is that possible?
And
you know what?
Well,
woo. That's crazy.
You're upsetting your wife.
I'm yelling.
I'm not yelling anybody. I'm on the radio.
I didn't know.
It's 7 o'clock, remember?
No.
Yeah, 7 o'clock, you said.
Oh, this is the best.
Yeah, we're not live on the radio. We're recording this so we can edit anything out.
Yeah,
so
we're recording. We're not live on the radio.
Hey, so were you a fan of wrestling growing up, Brutus?
I went when I was a kid. I watched it. I used to watch Johnny Valentine, Jose Lothario, the great Malenko, Eddie Graham, and all those guys, man. He's watched them all. Used to go to the TV place right there in Tampa. Everybody went and try to get autographs and shit.
When you watched it, did you think you were gonna? Oh, so you did want to be a wrestler when you were a kid?
No, I didn't want to be a wrestler. No, not at all.
What led to you actually saying, "Hey, I want to become a pro wrestler"? How did that happen?
It wasn't really easy. It led me to say I want to be a pro wrestler. Really.
Well, shit. I mean, well, then
Hogan was trying to get in, and he was finding, you know, super people trying to keep him out. They didn't want his kind, and they didn't want the guys who weren't fucking wrestling, college wrestlers, and this and that. They didn't want these hippie types. Like us, bodybuilder hippie types, like that's what they consider us, you know, in 77, 76, 77. That's what they thought of us. So that's just not the way it was.
And of course, you have a brand new book out, and we're going to talk about that a lot as we move along. But, you know, and it's a great book. I've read it, and I thought it was fantastic. And in the book, you talk about how you met Hulk Hogan. You knew him from his Little League legend status. But then you saw him in line at a wrestling event, you know, going in as a fan, and you guys became friends and fast friends, and you guys started training together. And you talk about in the book about Hogan, you know, the famous story about Hogan getting his leg broken. Did that make you feel less or more like you wanted to be a wrestler, or was it just part of the business?
All I knew was, there's no way I was going to go in for this wrestling school bullshit where they broke his leg. And so, you know, it's like, whatever, you know, I was a phenomenal fucking candidate and period. And that's all they cared about. You know, we were fucking top notch, fucking top of the line shit for them.
Meaning, so you look like superstars, you look like a superstar, so you didn't have to go through the training and everything, you're saying?
Well, not necessarily go through the training. The training means shit. It takes years of wrestling to fucking learn psychology and of our business and learn how to do it, learn how what it's all about and shit. Not days, not weeks, not months, not years. Lots of years. And there's a lot of those guys, after lots of years, who still don't have a clue what that actually means. It's probably why our business today is where it's at, because the guys have no clue what real ring psychology means, what that means.
What are some of the differences you see when you talk about ring psychology? Like, Robbie's a wrestler and I'm a fan. So when you're talking to me, a fan, what is the difference between now and then when it comes to ring psychology?
70s and 80s, there were still territories and guys wrestled every night, and they learned by wrestling every night in the ring, night after night after night, what it means to be wrestling in a ring with people watching you and shit, and then actually doing the whole deal, and that's just it after a while, because it's no longer possible. People, they can't wrestle in front of everybody every night over and over and over and over again. And learn and make mistakes and shit, and then learn how to do things. And that's the crazy thing right there.
Hey, did Coco Beware help you out when you first started?
Coco?
Yeah.
Well, I met Coco, and when I first started, let's say 76, 77, early Tennessee. Didn't really help me out anything. Coco and I were friends. We've always been friends, been good friends, we'll always be friends. I know Coco, and he knows me.
Yeah, he talked a little bit, and it's also in your book, about how you guys were big guys, and you guys were treated like guys who they didn't really want to wrestle. They just wanted to stand and be big. And Coco kind of took you guys aside and maybe helped you guys with some wrestling when you first came up. Was that the kind of thing where people just really just wanted you to be big guys? Or was it more of a thing where you guys wanted to do some wrestling?
What I don't know what are you talking about here. What years are you talking about me about wrestling? Like, you talking about the 80s? The 80s? 82, 83, and I don't know what years. Is it real? I don't even.
Sure. He was talking about when you first came up in Memphis and,
Oh, Memphis, that's 70s, man. That's 70, 76, 77, 78. That's some early days.
I broke my glass.
You broke it? Oh, no.
Sorry. All right. Down.
No worries. So when did and then as Dizzy Boulder, you also toured, a lot of different territories. You did Mid-Atlantic, you did the AWA. Was your goal to go to WBF, or did you care where you went?
I worked every I worked all the territories. But obviously, my goal is to go back home to WWF. I was there in like 78, and then branched out to a bunch of other territories, and then came back. Really came back before Savage, came back before Bret Hart, before a lot of guys. I was there before almost all of those guys. Valentine was there, Santana was there, but at the end of the day, fucking DK was there before all those other guys came in.
And what was the locker room scene like at that time? Did everybody get along? Was there a lot of problems between each other?
There was no problems between anybody, really. Everybody got along great. And people, we had great times.
And you pretty much
had great times. Those times just rolled into better times, better and better and better. The late 70s began to roll into the early 80s, and then the 80s freaking took off, man. We rocked it, man. We turned MTV and VH1 and took over the fucking world. Period. End of the story.
And you and Hogan pretty much always traveled together?
It depends. Certain times we did. Then I traveled with Fuji and those guys sometimes, Bob Orton Jr., Morocco, they were all friends. And Piper, we traveled together sometimes.
So after you got to the attention of the WWF, of course, Hogan comes in, and then you come in. And you go to a meeting with Vince and Hogan and Linda, and it was kind of Linda's idea for the whole character, but Hogan came up with a name. What was your initial reaction to the Brutus Beefcake character?
Well, they didn't know what Brutus Beefcake was. They just came up with a name. And I thought the name was insanely crazy. Brutus Beefcake. Just off the wall, completely off the wall.
Right.
But sometimes that's the best thing you can do is go off the wall. And the name Brutus Beefcake became worldwide sensation. Nobody, you can't, that's one thing you can do, but you don't forget the name Brutus Beefcake when
you hear it. You ain't gonna,
that's the thing. You don't forget it.
So when you first heard it, did you not like it? Did you not like the name when you first
heard it? I've Brutus Beefcake. I don't know about you, but when I was in, I am in the wrestling business. And I'm 7 or 8 years. I put my entire lifetime into it. And now I'm going to be here. We're going to pick my name. It's going to be my name for the rest of my life.
Right.
And it would have been, but if circumstances hadn't changed, it would have been my name for the rest of my life. But it's still the name that I go by now after all these years. So really, it didn't matter. But Brutus Beefcake, Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
And you,
fucking.
But you were over from day one as that initial Beefcake heel character. You know, when I first started watching wrestling, that was when I just started watching it. And to me, you were this new badass heel, you know, but you were cocky and you had the bow tie. You had everything going on. You had Johnny Valiant. But you're saying they gave you the name, but everything inside the ring, including you got the designer, Jimi Hendrix's clothing designer to design stuff for you. Everything inside that ring was all you, right?
It was all me, brother. It was everything I did. Everything was, it was about me. And it was just, it was just, it's hard. Sometimes you don't know what you're getting dropped into at a moment's notice. All of a sudden, bam, here you are. Then now you're dropped into a situation. you got to figure out what you're going to do here really, really fast. And so that's kind of where we were at. And it all worked out good. Brutus Beefcake was a fucking huge sensation, and you're on fire.
So much so that you were in WrestleMania 1 and you were with David San Martino. And also, I remember you being in a lot of tag matches with Bruno. What was it like to work with Bruno? And A lot's been made of that Bruno and David relationship. Were they not getting along then, too?
Yeah, they didn't get along. And that's a terrible thing. I hate to hear that.
And
you know, they
go ahead.
Well, you know, it was huge. You know, for everybody. You know, we didn't know what to expect. Everybody went in there, given everything they had for every, well, we gave all we got. Vince put up everything, and you know what? It turned out to be so fucking big that, you know, and it made it, and it put us on the map, and then it gave Vince the capital that he needed to invest so we could go after WrestleMania 2 with three fucking locations, and then, and that shit was fucking insane. And, you know, so, I mean, from that day, fucking shit happened. So, you know, there's no playing around, man. Shit was going on, and it kept going and going and going.
And then how did it eventually become where you became Brutus the Barber Beefcake and you started cutting people's hair?
You definitely talk about it in the book at WrestleMania 3. You know, they come to you, Vince comes to you, and he says he wants you to be the barber. And you go to Hogan, you say,
They never came to me for shit, brother. What do you mean? It came to me and said, I want you to be the barber. Nothing fucking like that. Nothing like that at all. There was nobody said, I want you to be the barber. There was WrestleMania 3 coming up with Adrian. I had an angle with Adrian, me and him, and he had cut my hair. And the whole thing with Piper and him in a match. And blah blah blah, and the whole thing went, and that's the way it worked out. They didn't tell me shit. You're gonna be Bruce the fucking knucklehead, nothing, Beefcake. They didn't give me fucking anything. It was a total fucking bullshit. Fucking spring it on you, whatever. Go for it. It's a fuck you deal. Because I should have got, I would have said, fuck it, where am I going to go with this? And I would have been screwed and they would have said, okay, yeah, you're done, blah, 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 and that's it. Fuck you. But because, you know what? That's the way I rock. And my friends, we don't rock like that either, man. So we pulled this fucking thing together. And Hogan helped me and I got fucking on track. I said, you know, this is where we're going to do it. And they fucking went with it, and then it turned out to be bigger and better than anything they ever fucking imagined.
For sure. You embraced it, and you felt it was kind of a fuck you to kind of ruin you and get you on your way out, but you embraced it, and you were more popular than ever.
That's what happens sometimes.
And this leads us to, you know, something we all talk about a lot, which is the unfortunate accident you had and, you know, the fact that you were out for 2 years, your face was put back together. When you look back on it, the doctors and everything did a fantastic job because looking at you now, and I've met you in person, you can't even see it. But at the time, it felt like you were never going to wrestle again, right?
Yeah. It was hard to know, you know, I had my face, you know, back together and stuff and everything was cool. And, but I you know, it's hard to know, at that point, you know, how you're going to proceed in the future in a business like ours. We're going to have to take, you know, kicks and punches and shit to your face. So it's not an easy decision to make right there, really, how you're going to decide to go and shit and everything. But, you know, I was lucky, you know, I had the best doctor on the planet. And, you know, regardless of whatever, and he says, you know, I should never wrestle and I should never wrestle. And I wrestled and, you know, his deal, he said, you're going to be stronger than even than you could be if you were fucking bam and you healed. You're even going to be stronger than that. You're going to be stronger. You're going to heal. You're going to be strong. It's like, I don't know, like alien shit. You know, they're telling you, oh, you're going to fucking heal, but you can heal even better than before. And that's how I did. I healed even bigger and better and stronger than I ever was when I was younger. And I became a fucking like superhero. It's funny, but that's it. You know, you just, God fucking blessed me and gave me the strength to come back from absolutely being dead, gone, period, serious, ended. You're dead, period. That's it. You're gone. And how do you come back from that? That's what happened to me. And that's how I did. I came back from that.
And WWF stayed supportive, obviously, the whole time while you were out?
Well, somewhat. We did some things. They took care of me. They helped me a little bit. And it kept me from starving to death, but they didn't help me a lot. They just kept me from, you know, going belly up. That's all they did. They didn't do shit for me, really. The money that I was making when I went down, compared to the money they were giving me, was fucking 20 to 1. Okay, so I was like, you know, okay, they're throwing me fucking bone. They're throwing me scraps. Here, Brutus. Here's some scraps. But it was okay, man. It was okay. Even scraps was better than nothing. And having scraps and keep myself going was enough to keep going and going. And now here we are, stronger and bigger and badder and freaking than ever, back in the game. All I can say is, the Lord Jesus, I thank God every day, pray morning, noon, and night, and for what he's done for me. And I just hope everybody else will think about that too.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things about, I've always wondered is, you know, you were always so close with Hogan, and they couldn't do much to Hogan. But, of course, you know, being where you were, I'm sure being friends with Hogan had its pluses and minuses, but do you think sometimes your friendship and closeness to Hogan worked against you in the WWF?
Brother, you have no idea how much jealousy is a monster that never stops. And the amount of jealousy between people, because Hogan and I were friends, because we started together, because we were together, we ate, we drank, we slept, we sweated, we worked out. We got to where we got because it was us together doing it. And then to have these people fucking to go at you, to tear you apart and shit. After that, it's ridiculous, man. It's fucking crazy.
Hey, so you did a little bit of a test run for a return, you know, and I think we all remember this. Some people call it fur face. Some people call it other things. And we all wondered why that didn't grow into something. But for you, you just didn't feel comfortable coming back quite yet. Is that correct?
I guess you can say that. I wanted time to make sure I was healed. And how can you be sure? You know, it's like I'm going against every fucking thing everything to do this, going against everybody and everything to do this. And so it's just kind of go, okay, you know, what are we going to do here? And you know, eventually, you know, I just gave in. I said, yeah, well, I don't care. If I die, I guess that's the way it's going to be. I'm going to die. And just going in and just, you know, going into the, admitting to myself, I'm going to do whatever I have to do there. It just, so, you know, it's a whole big deal.
Hey, so your barbershop set.
Man, I'm strong.
Hey, so guys, remember the days when you were always ready to go? Well, now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in the bedroom. Listen up.
BlueChew.com, and it's blue just like the color blue. Now, BlueChew.com brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work.
And you can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises.
Blue Chew is prescribed online, and it ships straight to your door in a discreet package. Now, I know people who've gotten this package, and I'm telling you, that's the truth. So no in-person doctor's visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, and the best of all, no more awkwardness.
And they're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a normal pharmacy.
And right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free. You can get it for free. What do you have to lose when you use our special promo code, Robbie? All you have to do is just pay the $5 shipping.
And again, guys, that's BlueChew.com and promo code Robbie. Not Robbie E, Robbie. Try it free today.
And it's Blue Chew, B-L-U-E, chew.com. And it is the better, cheaper, faster choice. And thanks for sponsoring the podcast. Now, I'm not lying. I know some guys who have gotten Blue Chew and they swear by it. So give it a chance today, bluechew.com/Robbie.
Hey, so your barbershop set.
I'm strong, man.
Were your barbershop segments, was that a way to keep you involved where you didn't have to be physical and wrestle? And was that your idea to do them? Did you enjoy doing it?
No, it was their idea. And it was tremendous. The barbershop, for them, it may be just my opinion, but a lot of other people's opinions too. The barbershop was the greatest thing next to the Piper's Pit ever. And the interviews that I did with guys in the barbershop were some of the best interviews they've ever done, period. It's Andre the Giant being one of them.
Yeah, we actually talked to Marty Jannetty, and that, of course, is one that nobody ever forgets.
That's the best one. That one's voted the greatest, the most, you know, blah, blah, blah. Whatever it is, you know, most diabolical bling thing on my barbershop, you know. And the worst day of my life was when they did that stinking fucking barbershop with Sid had destroyed the barbershop, because for what? You know, for what? Okay, you know what? I'm like, oh, run from Sid, hide from Sid. Okay, yeah, blah, blah, blah. And like it made any fucking difference in the pay-per-view whatsoever or anything else. And, you know, the barbershops were some of the best fucking things that they had ever had during this time on their TV.
Now,
so you got me. what's the point?
Well,
you know, oh, we did this great show. Let's take it off.
And do you feel that was more of the jealousy and more of the, you know, people trying to hold you back and not giving you the fair shot?
There was things happening, man.
Sure. Well,
there was things happening.
And then in 1993, it finally happens. Everybody is ready for you to come back. You come back, and not only it was such a powerful thing that not only did it bring back Hogan, but you turned Jimmy Hart face for the first time in his whole WWF career, and you had to take a briefcase to the face, and it actually did hit you in the head. I didn't realize that until I read your book. What was going through your head when you realized that this, you're going to have to take a hit to the face to make this angle work?
That's funny. Because I wasn't scared. My face, my head, is so strong. My doctor told me, he goes, not only is your face has now healed because of the growth hormone and the other shit that I used during my recovery. Your face is healed. Not only did it heal strong, it just healed so strong. It's like it's impregnable. It's like, you can't break it. So even if it broke, if something happened and everything smashed, it still wouldn't break apart. Your face would be all together. And I told the doctor, I said, and he said, I can't say that on the record. He goes, but that's the way it is. He goes, your face is healed so strong. It's healed so strong through this structuring, restructuring of that they did with the titanium and the screws and everything. It's healed so strong. It can't be broken. It can't be broken. You couldn't even break it if you wanted to break it. I was like, I'm the $1 million man. It was $1 million for the surgery of this thing. I'm the $1 million man. He says, they couldn't even break you if they wanted to break you. Hey.
So you eventually left WWF for some acting opportunities, right? Did you think you were done with wrestling at that time?
Oh, no. No, not at all. But, you know, I was doing stuff, whole bunch of movie opportunities with Hogan over, you know, in the Bahamas and all over Florida, Vancouver, Montreal. And we do movies all over the, Miami. All over the place. I mean, it's the greatest time of my life, brother. You have no idea. The people, I trained with the Navy SEALs. I'm a master diver. I'm triple certified. I can dive. I dove in Walt Disney World in their tank, and no one on the planet can dive in there unless you're certified by the Walt Disney tank diver. So you can't even dive in there. Under any circumstance, you can't dive without being certified by the Walt Disney tank diver. And I did that. I dove in the tank in the Walt Disney World from the tank diver thing and on television on a movie. Pretty fucking cool.
That is
pretty
awesome,
fucking
that's
cool,
awesome.
Man. Pretty fucking cool.
That's freaking awesome.
There's only a few people in the world that get the chance to dive in the tank at Disney with their people, man. They go down and shit. And that was fucking super cool.
Even though you had all these great opportunities, what was it like leaving this company that you had all these great years with? And also, how did it, how was your relationship with the WWF when you left?
But there was no relationship. They had trademarked my name, so I couldn't use it. That's why all the years in the
sure.
next for the next 5 years, I was screwed because I couldn't do anything because they had illegally trademarked my name and I couldn't use my name. WCW wouldn't challenge them, blah, 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 blah. And then so once that ran out, and then things changed, but you know, the disciple ruled pretty good for a while.
Well, you debuted as the Butcher and actually, you know, headlined Starrcade, which is a big deal. What was the difference in WCW and WWF? You'd been in WWF all these years. You go to WCW. We hear a lot about the differences backstage and in front of the camera. What was the main differences in going to WCW?
Not a lot of big differences. It's just probably a little less, you know, pressure backstage for guys and stuff for matches, but it really wasn't that different. You know, we went in there, we had our jobs to do. We went in there. Some guys got tougher, bigger, things to do than others parts of the show. And those guys got to take care and do what they're supposed to do and take care of it. We can get it done. And then that's the way we did it.
Now, I like the name The Butcher. What was the reason for, and I know you had kind of tried out that Zodiac character in Mr. Nanny with Hulk Hogan, but what was the reason for keeping changing your name to different things? Why didn't they keep you as the same character for longer when you were in WCW?
Basically because they were scared of Vince and they couldn't make a stand. So we kept changing the name over and over and over and over again. The Zodiac, the Booty Man, Big Brother Booty, this and that and the stuff. You know, eventually, those names, they ran out of juice. There was nothing left to trademark. And and when we trademarked the Disciple and things like that, for when the NWO was kicking Vince's ass was out the fucking door. And then, you know, at the end of the day, you know, the NWO was the deal, you know, and that was, you know, 2009, whatever, 2010. And then the whole thing fell apart. You know, I went to shit.
So obviously it was Brutus Beefcake, the Brutus the Barber Beefcake. Was that your favorite character of all time?
Yeah, you know, there was nothing like better than Brutus. And was not, anything I did after Brutus was you know, just trying to was mere survival. And just, you know, it's no different than being an actor, really. If you really understand the deals, you know, an actor goes into a role and becomes a thing and becomes a person and does what he has to do. And that's nothing less than what they offered me. You just, bam, jump into this, do this, become this, blah, blah, blah. And that's what I did multiple times. And it was able to, over periods of time, you know, still be able to make money for my family, keep my sure. family open. And you know, I've been in 10 other movies and as a stuntman and an actor in different roles. And it's just incredible incredible piece of to be that kind of person in life, to be able to be involved in all that.
For sure.
If you had a choice, Brutus, when you went to WCW and you were able to bring the Beefcake character there, would you have done it?
Oh, absolutely, man. You know, Beefcake would have rocked the Atlanta territory. It would have took over. And honestly, that's my they were so scared to give me a chance to take over that thing. That was one of the big reasons. That's one of the big reasons they stopped it. They stopped that and wouldn't let it happen.
Now, granted that you couldn't have been Beefcake, you know, and you're backstage at WCW and they're bringing you out as the Booty Man and Zodiac and the Disciple. Did you have something you would like to be doing? Like, if you had a choice, you couldn't be Beefcake. What would your role have been in those heydays of Nitro?
Well, we wound up with it was the Disciple, man.
And
the fucking Disciple was 200 fucking 50 pounds, shredded, ripped,
for
fucking
sure.
Disciple, looking better than anybody, even better than, I look better than freaking Hogan. Pull up the fucking videos, look at them. I'm fucking bigger, I'm fucking more ripped, I'm bigger and better looking, and I'm 10 years younger than he is, and it doesn't matter. I looked way freaking better.
Were you in the best shape of your life at that point?
For many years before that, yes.
And
when I came to the NWO, I devoted my whole life to fucking being in better shape. And in those years, that was everything.
And
I rocked it.
You did. I mean, you were in tremendous shape as a Disciple, and the character was great. Why do you think they didn't use you more? Because it seemed like after the Warrior thing faded out, you could have still stayed on. You were in great shape. You could still wrestle. You still had your, you know, people knew who you were. How come they didn't use you more in those last couple of years?
Because of the Warrior didn't make a deal, and Eric Bischoff hates my guts. He's a huge, you know, he's wishes he was, you know, Hulk Hogan's friend and somebody that really would be a real friend and friend, you know, would be there all the time like I am, but it's not the same. And so Eric Bischoff, he fucking hates me.
Why do you think that is?
He always has. He's because Hogan and I came up together as brothers, as friends,
right.
as fucking... We're bonded, man. We're, you know, and together. And this guy, he can accept the fact that he couldn't be like the main guy.
When Hogan and Eric became super close, did that affect your relationship with Hogan at all? Like, did he drive a wedge between
you? Of course it did. You know, but you know, I have been, and always will be his friend. I've never been anything against him. I know there's been some crazy shit on the internet and things about us, but you know, still.
So you wrestled your last match for WCW in November 6, 1999 against Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Were you still under contract when WCW was sold to WWF, or were you done with WCW before WCW ended?
I was still in the contract, and my contract got canceled, and because I guess I didn't have a lawyer at the time engaged, that I got screwed, of course.
Was there any talk of you going to WWF at that time, or was that not even an option?
was, I don't know, don't talk or anything.
So that was pretty much it after that. After WCW folded, you didn't really have any other opportunities.
No, because there was, you know, not any other groups calling. There's not any really companies working. So,
what about years later when Hulk went to TNA? Did he ever reach out to you at all to maybe be involved with that?
Well, I went to Australia, guys and stuff. We all went there. Made a trip there. The TNA guys. yeah, Hogan had a knee replacement. He had a bad back. He had all kind of problems. I was helping him. The TNA actually said they were going to give me a job. And then they didn't. And I didn't get shit. I didn't get nothing. And so it was all good. I didn't get, you know, I really didn't give a shit. The TNA people, I didn't have no respect for any of them, you know. And you know, and the whole thing fell apart. So what can I say?
And then, what's your relationship with Hulk now? Do you guys still talk regularly?
No, we don't.
Has it been like a long time since you have spoke?
Yeah, pretty much.
And that's something that you wouldn't mind kind of patching up the differences and maybe reconnecting again at some time?
Absolutely. I've tried multiple times. I spent a lot of time on the phone. Trying to, expanding my position and make things better, but it has been ineffective.
Well, something on a lighter note, before we let you go, and we thank you so much for your time, you got to pick up this book, guys. You can get it at BrutusBeefcake.com. Of course, it's at Amazon, too, but order it through BrutusBeefcake.com. It's the Brutus the Barber Beefcake book. It's fantastic. And I got to ask something just kind of a little funny is that my friend Conrad Thompson a while ago kind of nicknamed you Brutus the Barber, Brutus the fucking Barber Beefcake, and you kind of embrace that. What do you think of that hashtag and that nickname that Conrad has bestowed upon you?
Actually, we think it's the greatest thing ever, and we've embraced it, and Brutus the fucking Barber Beefcake, people love it. They love it. And you know what? Thank you, Conrad. Thank you, everybody. We got a show later this year where we're going to be with Conrad. And we're going to have a, in Chicago, we're going to have a great show all together. And it's going to be incredible.
And, you know, real quick, one question I forgot to ask you about was, and it was the way the Brutus the fucking Barber thing got started, was that you were chosen to end Mr. Perfect's streak, right? When Mr. Perfect came in. How come you think you were chosen to end that streak?
Brother, I was supposed to get the belt. You don't get it. You don't understand. I was supposed to get the belt in 89, in SummerSlam 89. When they Honky Tonk Man all of a sudden had to give the belt up to the Warrior, I was supposed to get the belt from the Honky Tonk Man then, not the Warrior. And then the whole thing went all south, and then I was supposed to get the belt from Mr. Perfect, and then I got an accident thing that and it changed that. But it was like. The Warrior deal was, you know, changed everything.
And how would things have been different for you, do you think, if you would have gotten that IC run when the IC belt really meant a lot?
Brother, you know, I can't say. Sure. Honestly?
Sure.
My life, my entire life changed because of all that shit. This changing to all of a sudden I'm going to be involved. At that point, I'm not going to be, I'm not going to be there. It's all good, man. You just can't rethink these things. Things happen, and that's the way it is. And you can't second guess everything. Things happen, and that's the way they happen.
And do you have any relationship now with WWE? Like, have you spoke? When's the last time you spoke to Vince McMahon or anyone connected to WWE?
We work with him. I work with him all the time. We work with WWE things. I don't blame anybody for the things that happened, whether we became, the things that happened, whether I became, this or that. You just have to let it go.
For sure.
You have to let it go.
So, looking back at your great career, your legendary career, all these great moments, what do you think was your favorite moment of your career?
That's hard to say, man. WrestleMania 3 was one of the best. Mullins WrestleMania 2 was one of the best. Mullins WrestleMania 1 was one of the best moments. there's all the pay-per-views. There's so many matches that I was fortunate enough to be part of.
It's hard to pick.
Over all these years, that's the thing. When the guys came and asked me, I said, how many matches? I did 500 a year for 10 years.
Wow.
That's 5,000 matches during that period of time. I mean, really? I mean, 5,000 matches? How do you begin to remember those matches? And with this match from that match, it becomes impossible. So it's like, what can you do?
Well, Brutus, thank you so much for being on, man. We appreciate your time. Do you, if promoters want to reach out to you to book you for anything or any social media you want to drop, your Twitter, your Instagram, do you want to say anything to your fans?
Yeah, go to Missy's Main Event .com, and they can, at BrutusBeefcake.com, they can animate those. They can find us, and they can inquire about dates or anything in the future, and we will be glad to respond immediately to you and let you know what's going on.
For sure. And I got to tell you, a couple of years ago at WrestleCade, which is in Greensboro, North Carolina, I had the pleasure of, you were at the hotel bar with Greg Valentine, and my son and I sat down and ate dinner with you. And you couldn't have been nicer. You couldn't have been more friendly. My son will never forget it. So you're a class act and a legend. And I really appreciate your time, man. Thank you so much for talking to us.
All right, brother. Thank you, man. I wasn't too crazy.
That's good. We appreciate it. We like that.
I'll give you a realistic evaluation.
Robbie, I don't know quite what to think about that. That was definitely Brutus the fucking Barber Beefcake. We've had some crazy interviews. What did you think about that one?
I don't know if you got the same vibe I did. I was trying to bite my tongue for a little bit. He warmed up a little at the end, but there was a few points in there where I'm like, do I owe this guy money or something? I thought he was kind of, I don't know if he had a chip on his shoulder, an attitude. I mean, he did warm up. But I don't know. I mean, maybe you just send those vods off and you piss people off, Matt.
I think I just pissed him off with my very presence. But I thought it was awesome. I loved hearing the stories, and I think we got a lot out of them, and I think people are going to be talking about this interview the way they've talked about some of our other classic interviews, like Buff Bagwell.
And just incredible. Yeah, I think he's going to fall under that. He's a little unorthodox these days. He's a wild man, but we definitely got some cool information out of him. And okay, so here's the crazy thing. I got to tell you something because, you know, we are redoing this exit of our interview with Brutus Beefcake. We filmed our original one a few days ago, but we're redoing this because we had to add something. And Matt, I didn't even tell you this offline. So we recorded the interview, and the day after we recorded the interview, I got a voicemail. Well, I got a call from a number I didn't know, so I didn't pick up. And then I listened to the voicemail, and it was someone who said, "Hello, this is, what's her first name? What's Mrs. Beefcake's first name?"
Misty.
Misty. She called herself Misty Beefcake. So I don't know if their real name is Beefcake. I don't believe it is. She called herself Misty Beefcake and asked me why I didn't why we didn't call her for the 7 p.m. interview.
Robbie.
She said to leave her to call her back or text her. And I text her back letting her know, hey, we recorded this 7 p.m. interview yesterday.
So
and she said, you. I mean, like, yeah, you were in the background.
She Misty Beefcake, which doesn't really work as a girl's name, but still, Misty Beefcake, who we know she does a lot of Brutus's business stuff. She called you and left a message the day after because she still thought we had an interview to do. What did she think Brutus was doing that day when he was ranting to us on the phone?
Yeah, maybe that's just how he talks to people on the phone. But hey, I still have it saved on my phone, and I think it would be cool to just play for our audience.
So how about this? We're going to play it at the end of the show. So as soon as we're done, we're going to say goodbye. And at the very end of the show, stay tuned. And we're going to play you the message, in case you don't believe us, from Misty Beefcake the day after we recorded this interview. That is just the perfect crazy little icing on this fucking insane cake that we baked today.
And I got another insane cake that's coming up because October 13th in Nashville, Tennessee, Overdrive Pro Wrestling, one of my favorite places to wrestle. I am wrestling my arch nemesis, the guy that besides EC3, he's probably my biggest feud on Twitter and Instagram and every social media form. It's Robbie E versus the Innovator of Violence, Tommy Dreamer.
Holy shit. He's going to kick your ass, dude. Like,
yeah, he has numerous times before.
Are you hardcore? Because he's hardcore.
You know, no, I'm not at all.
You're fucked.
Yeah.
And that's Overdrive Wrestling in Nashville, Tennessee, right? October 13th?
Yep. I think you need to get in the car and make the trip down for that one.
Well, we will already have met by then because we're doing StarCast Live, folks. September 2nd, wide-ended live. Robbie E. and Matt Kuhn meet for the first time. But Robbie, you also have some stuff coming up this weekend. What's going on?
Yeah, so this weekend I will be Friday and Saturday, the APWA in Grafton, West Virginia, and then Parkersburg, West Virginia, where I'm actually challenging Nick Aldis for the NWA, the 10 pounds of gold, the NWA heavyweight title, which is going to be pretty cool. And then Sunday, August 19th, I'm going to be in Detroit, Michigan for a SummerSlam party. I'm going to be signing autographs. Go figure.
So you could conceivably win the NWA championship and be all in, right? Is that possible?
This is true. If I win that championship, the title's on the line, I'll be wrestling in the main event against Cody Rhodes.
Wow.
And and I'll also be, your co-host and the champion. I might even let you touch the title.
That would be awesome. I'm going to root for you. I got to be honest. It's the first time I have, so I'm going to root for you this time. Is that cool?
All right. Yeah, fine.
All right. Fine. Well, don't forget, we're at Wyatt Ended on Twitter. Robbie is at Robbie E Impact, and I'm Matt Kuhn at Matt Kuhn Music. What an awesome episode. Tell all your friends about why it ended. Robbie, anything you want to say to our fine listeners before we sign off of this very traumatic and crazy episode of Why It Ended?
No, we just appreciate you on Patreon that you stuck with us. And, you know, we're back on track now. You'll be getting your episodes weekly ahead of time. And thank you, guys. And then just remember Twitter, Instagram, Why It Ended, Robbie E, Real Robbie E on Instagram, Robbie E Impact on Twitter. And then, of course, Matt Kuhn Music on Twitter and Instagram for Matt. And thank you, guys. Enjoy Misty Beefcake. We'll see you next week.
Hey, Rob. It is Misty Beefcake. Not sure. I think he was supposed to call Brutus at 7, and it's now 7:35. maybe later, but just 7:35. So I guess the interview is not happening tonight. Please give a call or a text to reschedule at your earliest convenience. Thanks so much. Take care. The number, thanks.
Well, yeah, don't keep the number in.
Yeah.